The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this April 8th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. A gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika area and another good day to talk some sports. And we're going to do that for the next couple of hours here during the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and we have so much to get to on the show today. A national champion has been crowned. The Florida Gators are your national champions in college basketball for 2024 and 2025, just as everybody predicted to start the season. And so we'll talk a lot about that today. Plus, we will talk a little Auburn baseball. We're also going to have a conversation with Carson Myers from Auburn baseball, the lefty for the Tigers out of the pen. And so we'll talk to him coming up at 2:30. A little bit of Major League Baseball update. I mean, NBA is going crazy. We got coaches being fired, even though they're making the playoffs. I mean, weird things are going on there. And then in hour number two, Christian Clemente of Auburn 247. Looking forward to having him join us on the show in the second hour. Been a while since we've had our recruiting guru in the studio, but we're excited to have him back from Auburn 247. Getting you all sorts of caught up on Auburn football recruiting, some spring practice notes and things like that. Since, look, it's been a while since we've really talked about it, since basketball dominated for so long. So Christian Clemente of Auburn 247 is going to join us in studio for hour number two. But joining me in studio here in hour number one, as he does every single day, my man Christian Griffin. How are you? Happy Tuesday, sir.
Happy Tuesday. A little bit more fitting of a Masters week afternoon when you're looking outside. Not necessarily the puddles and the rain everywhere. Much more fitting. So happy true Masters week now, we can officially say, here on ESPN 106.7. Yeah, being able to talk about the game tonight where it felt like neither team wanted to win the game, but Florida ultimately got the one stop that they needed to get to win the whole thing. And really excited, again, something that we haven't talked a lot about, but A-Day is this weekend. The Tiger Walk is this weekend. Things that you feel like you haven't thought about in a while, just because you've had a couple other sports really driving and pushing the ball here on the show, but really excited to be able to talk about that, what to expect with spring practice, what this weekend in entirety is going to look like with guys on the field, guys not quite on the field, but in the stands possibly coming to look at what Auburn is about this weekend. Really excited to get Mr. Clemente in here this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll have him on in hour number two in studio, so looking forward to that. But a national champion. We have one now for 24 and 25 in college basketball. And Todd Golden, in his third season in Gainesville, the Gators come back again and beat Houston in the national championship game in what was, I'm not going to say the most exciting game, but it became exciting, right? When Houston goes up double digits, it was a horrifically sloppy first half. I mean, Florida had six or seven turnovers. Houston's defense was everything is advertised. The Gators had nothing going for them, and Walter Clayton Jr. was scoreless in the first half. But you felt like Florida was okay, because all things considered, they were only down by three. But then Houston comes out, and where you would expect Florida to throw the first punch, Houston threw the first punch, and they're all of a sudden, they're up by double digits. Largest lead was 12 for Houston in this game. And Florida just never went away. Florida kept hanging around, And as good teams do, they took advantage of it. Gators are your national champions. They take down Houston 65-63.
Do you have the hotkey from yesterday?
I'll just repeat it word for word. Yeah, somebody on this show yesterday, somebody on this radio station yesterday said, and I quote from myself, Florida will be trailing for most of this game, and then with under 5 minutes to play, they will make a fierce comeback, and they will win it down the stretch in the last minute and become national champions. That is exactly how this game played out, and it's wild that that prediction came true, but that's how this game played out. Florida trailed the entire time, so much so, Christian. Florida led for a whopping 1 minute and 4 seconds total in this basketball game, and they win the national title.
They led when it was 6-5, and they led when it was 65-63. And maybe a bucket or a point in between with a couple of free throws. But that was the time that this Florida team led. We talked about some of the win probabilities, and again, it's things that you kind of take with a grain of salt, but in a storyline run or a storybook run like this, Florida comes back when Houston has a 93.9% chance of winning this game. Auburn had an 88% chance of beating Florida. I think Texas Tech had a 93 or 95% chance of winning. UConn got up to 82 or 83%. Yet every single time, Todd Golden and the Florida Gators found a way to win. And that was what he said. That was the very first thing he said standing at half court when he was being interviewed, when the confetti was falling, was he said, we stayed the course. We did exactly what we've done all season long. I told these guys at halftime, don't change a thing. It's not always going to be pretty, but you get enough stops, you find enough ways to win, and that's what really, really good teams do. And a team that, again, by no means are we saying undeserving or anything like that, but underappreciated, arguably the most underappreciated, fantastic team in college basketball, wins the whole thing.
Alex Condon did not play well. He played very sloppy, very hesitant. Of course, Walter Clayton was in a nightmare for 30 minutes of this game before he got going. Will Richard is the saving grace, or was the saving grace, for this Florida team. He kept them around. He kept them alive. He scored 18 points, 5 of 10 from the floor, 4 of 7 from downtown. Also had 8 rebounds, did Will Richard. And I think everybody saw in this game, maybe even in the Final Four matchup against Auburn, but definitely in this game against Houston, Florida's a deep team. They only played 8 guys, but they played 8 solid guys. Nobody talks about Thomas Houck. Nobody talks about Denzel Aberdeen. Heck, people don't even talk about Hanglockton most of the time. But they play significant roles on this Florida team. While they're not the greatest scorers or the greatest playmakers or just defensive menaces, they just play a solid role, and they eat minutes. I mean, Houck played 24, and Aberdeen played 18, and yet you had no idea they were even in the game, but they eat enough minutes and play their role perfectly to help out the starters for that Florida team, which is how they beat Auburn, and it's how they beat Houston last night.
It's exactly what we talked about in the game, or talking about this game yesterday, and how you have so many guys that can play such key roles, you don't feel like there's a drop-off. Florida runs through their guards, and that's how teams win deep in the March Madness tournament. That being said, you have to have the bigs that can play at least well enough to get you by and don't have to necessarily be the guys that give you 15 and 12 every single game. But when you're looking at the bigs, 7 rebounds, 4 steals, 5 rebounds and a block. Then you go to the bench, 5 rebounds, 3 assists and a block. You have 4 rebounds, 2 assists and 9 minutes. You have 2 rebounds and you go 3 for 4 from the floor. All of those are their big guys that you don't necessarily expect to score. You expect them to eat up the rebounding category. Yeah. You had 40 of them in the contest. It's good enough to win you basketball games, man.
I would say so. And Florida, is a very good team with a very good coach in Todd Golden, who at his young age has now won a national championship. And, you know, you look at this Florida program, haven't won since their back-to-back wins in 06-07, but here they are, and they're on top of the college basketball world in a game that was sloppy. And I said yesterday, they can win in any given way, and they won in a defensive slugfest. Somebody texted in the text box, which is always open, by the way, at 334-784-1067, and says, was watching a football game last night, and a basketball game broke out in the last 2 minutes because teams started actually making shots. And I do want to say this. When you start comparing the team stats here, or really the first half stats to the second half stats, can we please readdress the conversation about how we asked for one simple thing from officiating?
Can I guess the word?
You go ahead. Just one. It's one word. It starts with a C.
Does it starts with a C? Does it end in intensity?
It rhymes with consistency. Oh yeah, it's consistency. That's all we ask for. If you're going to call everything, call everything. If you're going to call nothing, call nothing. But for the foul differential in this game to be what it was, you called, what, five or six fouls in the first 20 minutes? You called 20-plus fouls in the second half. Florida put Houston in the bonus with like 13 minutes to play because the officials went to the locker room and either got together, got a phone call, or just decided to have some fun, and they completely flipped their mindset 180 degrees. Not 360, because that's a full circle and you put right back where you started. 180, okay? They went from one side of the spectrum to the other. Where, I don't understand how this happens. I don't understand where you get into the locker room and you decide, you know, I just don't think we called enough fouls in that first half. Let's do a better job in the second half. No, your job is not to call fouls. Your job is to call the correct fouls. Your job is to call the ones that exist. Don't try to call as many as you can. That's not your job. But yet, that's what happened last night. These two teams were shooting free throws with more than 10 minutes to play in the second half. That's absurd.
There were four foul calls in the first half.
There were probably 24 in the second half.
25.
There you go.
That's insane.
That's impossible.
Houston finished with 19. Florida finished with 10. But you had four total combined. Florida had one. Houston had three in the first half. So that means Houston had 16 fouls in the second half. And by no means are we saying that the officials decided who was going to win the game, but there was a point where Houston got called for 11 of the 14 fouls in about a 10-minute span. And it's just one of those things where it's hard to get any sort of consistency, and then you wonder why the players and the coaches have any sort of argument, because 8 minutes ago, you were allowed to do that. Now all of a sudden, you can't. It's like being in the batter's box and you ask an umpire after he calls a strike one, hey, is that as far out as you're going? It's a little off the plate. Is that as far as you're going? And he says yes. Then all of a sudden, okay, now I know. As a hitter, that's as far as I have to go. Then they go a ball out even further and you call strike two. Okay, then he goes right back to it. It's ball one. Then all of a sudden, he rings you up on a pitch that's even further outside the zone. And the argument is, where was the consistency? I talked to you and asked if that was as far as we were going, and you said yes. You immediately turned the other side and started calling it again. It's so frustrating, especially now when you can watch a basketball game without anything on the line or anything, no true determining factor of who you want to win this game. You can truly see it with a clear eye view of, holy cow, it's frustrating.
You know how to fix your baseball problem? You know my answer.
Is that the break calling?
Oh, no, we still have. Oh, well, we are actually up against
Jacob
it. No,
Jacob wants robot officials in high school baseball.
Nope, just automated balls and strikes. If you can put it on TV, you could put it in the game. That's all I'm saying. But my argument with last night's game is, look, I think a lot of the things that happened in that first half that Houston got away with were fouls. That continuous over the back, where they were arm-barring the back of a Gator, jumping up and doing that volleyball style, tip out. That's an over-the-back call. It should be. They got away with it, I counted six or seven times, but it didn't get called in the first half. to Todd Golden's defense, he was begging for it. He was asking for it. Heck, so much that his entire bench got teed up last night. And was it Chinny Lou that got teed up, too, for slamming the ball? And, and the fact that Florida still won a national title with getting two technical fouls in the second half, pretty miraculous. But my whole thing is they weren't calling things in the first half. And then they decided to call everything in the second half. There's got to be an in-between, but I would rather whatever you do, stick with it. Don't overcorrect. That's the big problem. If you correct it and get it right, okay, that's cool. Let's try to get back to the middle a little bit. But let's not go so far the other way that by the end of it, you look back and say, oh yeah, we got it balanced. We got it right. No, that's not how this is supposed to work. And I want to say it's not fair, but the fair is in August. I'm just saying you can't swing the pendulum so far one way and then so far the other, and officials go home and feel good about themselves, because they shouldn't. Now, last night was a joke. It was a joke of officiating. It absolutely was. But I guarantee they got a good review, a good report. They felt good about themselves. Didn't matter to them. Who cares? They went home and slept like a baby last night.
And they won the national championship.
Yeah.
The fact that that's being talked about more than any sort of individual player or play is a cause of concern in itself.
Which we do need to talk about an individual play. The fact that Houston had the basketball with a chance to tie or win,
and you decided to dribble out the entire clock, that tells me that Kelvin Sampson knew his team was beat. And that's going for the two-point conversion after scoring a touchdown with 10 seconds left.
I mean, didn't even get a shot up. Didn't even get a shot in the air. And basically turned it over. Turned it over because the dude dribbled the basketball, jumped in the air. At least he had the awareness to know, okay, I can't pick this basketball back up. Alex Condon dove on the basketball. Time runs out. Game's over. And Florida wins a national championship. And that's got to be one of the worst ways to lose, knowing that you didn't even get a chance. You had your chances, yes, but on the final possession, you didn't even give yourself a chance to
knowing
have
that you
the
didn't
hope.
Even yeah, you couldn't even see the ball go up, and just for a second and a half, sit there and have the entire arena just absolutely silent.
Didn't get it up, and give Florida a ton of credit, man. Defensively, they made plays down the stretch, the reach in from the wing to poke that ball out off the Houston thigh and going the other way. I mean, big time stuff. Where Houston missed free throws, Florida made free throw. I mean, there were so many key moments in this game where Florida hung around. Officiating helped them, but I think Florida just won this game. I don't consider this a blown opportunity for Houston. I think they had a lot of chances, but I don't come on here today and say, Houston blew it. They blew it. That's embarrassing, like Duke did. I'm not saying that about this Houston team. I think they had several chances. I think they just lost to a really, really good Florida team.
The one chance and the one thing that I'll go back to is, why do you take the ball out of L.J. Cryer's hands?
I agree with that. I agree with that.
At the half-court logo. If you're going to take it out of his hands, it's a pass to the corner for a kick-out three.
Sure.
Otherwise, he's getting downhill. You got to find something else to do. Instead, the dude that has 19 points in the game, your leader, playing his last minute of college basketball, You dump it off and hope that somebody else can make a play.
I just don't understand that. I really, really don't. And I think Kelvin Sampson's a great coach, but he got beat last night. And Todd Golden and the Florida Gators are your national champions. We'll have more on that as the show goes on. Talking a little baseball when we come back, before we sit down with Carson Myers from Auburn Baseball. That's all coming up here in hour number one on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And, hey, phone lines are open for a couple of minutes if you want to be a part of the show, and they will be open an hour or two when we have Christian Clemente in here. So if you've got recruiting questions or football questions or anything like that, we're going to be talking a lot of football coming up in hour number two. So we'll have the phone lines open then. But they are open right now for just a few minutes if you'd like to be a part of the show. 334-321 1390. We're going to have Carson Myers, the Auburn baseball lefty. He's going to be joining us on the show coming up in just a little bit. Fun conversation with him as we talk the Alabama series. We talked the Georgia Tech game tonight and LSU coming up this weekend. And so excited to have him on here momentarily. But speaking of that Alabama series, the Tigers all of a sudden, Christian, 500 in SEC play. They've won three of their four SEC series, but you got swept against Georgia. And so you say that, it's like, okay, you won three out of four series. That's pretty good. But unfortunately, the one loss was being swept. And you see now, right, as we know in baseball, but just in, especially in the SEC, how crucial it is to not get swept, but how big of a deal it is if you do get a sweep. Because, man, if you start moving up the rankings by two games at a time or falling by two games at a time, it's nearly impossible to catch up or make up that ground.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. The mindset is always you go in looking to win the series, and then your mindset is we have to avoid getting swept. Even if you fall on Friday and Saturday, find a way to steal one on the getaway day on Sunday, to where that way you go back and win the series. Then over the last two weekends, you're in 500 ball. Auburn, again, you've won three series. And again, that one series getting swept against Georgia really kind of evens everything out, to where you then feel like if you're able to get a sweep on your end, then it feels like everything begins to level out. And by no means am I going to sit here and say that I'm frustrated with how the series went against Alabama. You still win the series. That felt like a sweepable series.
No doubt about it.
You win game one and you win game three. You fall in game two, 6-5. You felt like you had chances to immediately make up for that. And all of a sudden, rather than in 500 play, you're a game above or even two games above. And it just feels like it's that much more. But still, a really nice job, a really nice bounce back after getting swept and then the loss in the midweek to UAB, to be able to come back and beat a team that's not necessarily stellar on the mound or in the bullpen, but really, really solid at the plate. But to be able to feel like you controlled all three games with your tempo and your pitching, it feels really, really nice. You mentioned Georgia Tech tonight, home for the series against LSU. And just looking at some of the things, I mean, you talk about the SEC dominance in football, basketball now, but baseball, man, you feel like it has always been SEC dominance. Auburn's about to play in their fifth ranked series in a row, and they're about to play their 13th ranked game in their last 16 games. The last time that they played a series where you were playing a team that was unranked is March 14th. Or even before then. You have played a ranked series from March 14th to April 25th. And yes, I know that that's only about a month or so, a month and a week, but that just goes to show you how every single team in the SEC has so much talent. You're even looking at it where Texas A&M, who's the bottom barrel of the SEC, just swept number one Tennessee in Knoxville. That in itself just shows you how important getting those series wins are. Another big midweek opportunity tonight, and then a really, really big opportunity in what should be a fantastic weekend here and a bunch of different activities on the Plains.
Yeah, I mean, your next two series are against number two and number three in the SEC standings. I mean, you have LSU this weekend, who's 10-2 in conference play. They come to Plainsman Park for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then you play Jacksonville State in the midweek at Jack State before you go to Austin for your first ever SEC baseball visit to Austin, Texas, in the Longhorns, who are 11-1 in conference play, just 15-3 at home and just 26-4 overall this season. So, you know, doesn't get any easier if you're Butch Thompson at Auburn.
No. I mean, looking at the updated top 25, looking at D1 Baseball's latest rankings, you feel like
you want to pull up all 17 rankings.
Yes,
and
no,
compare.
But that's the one that you feel like has the most legitimacy because it's the one that ESPN partners with. Arkansas is at 1, Texas is at 2, LSU is at 3, then you go to 5. What a big jump from 3 to 5 with the next SEC team. Ole Miss at 6, Georgia at 7, and then Auburn at 11. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the top 7 teams and 6 of the top 10 are ranked in the SEC.
And don't forget that Auburn ends the regular season in Oxford taking on Ole Miss. So you play LSU, Texas. You have Ole Miss on that schedule. There's another series. Am I missing a series in there, or is that what it is? Is it
we have LSU? Mississippi State after.
Mississippi State at home, yeah. Yes. Yeah, so you play, yeah, your next four SEC series, the last four SEC series, right? You play LSU at home, at Texas, Mississippi State at home, and then at Ole Miss.
When's it ever been the fact that Mississippi State is your, all right, here's the chance, here's your best opportunity to play a team that's quote-unquote having a down year?
I misspoke a couple of them, so I have the official. I was trying to do this off the best of my memory, and it obviously is not good. You play LSU at home this weekend, then you go to Texas, return home for Mississippi State. Just forgot about this little series. You got to go to Lindsey Nelson Stadium. You got to play at Tennessee for a three-game set to start the month of May. That's on me. My bad. Don't worry, though. You get to welcome in South Carolina before you go to Ole Miss. That's how SEC play finishes up for Butch Thompson and the Tigers. So, you know, just a few easy games in conference play. We'll talk to Carson Myers about that and the season as a whole. The Auburn lefty joins us coming up next.
Are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. And since it's Tuesday, we get to carry on a special tradition that we've gotten to get on here throughout the baseball season, whether it's the head coach, Butch Thompson, one of the assistants, or like it is today, as we get to talk to the man who wears number 24, the lefty on the mound. Here is Carson Myers talking about the series against Alabama, upcoming against Georgia Tech, and what to expect this weekend against LSU.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and excited to continue our weekly interviews with Auburn baseball between Butch Thompson, assistant coaches and players, and we got another player joining us today. It's the lefty Carson Myers. He wears number 24, does the senior for Auburn baseball. Man, we appreciate you being with us today and excited to talk a little baseball with you this afternoon.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here.
Well, there's been a lot going on with the season, and it's crazy to think we're already a week into the month of April, and SEC play is in the heart of it. But I want to talk to you a little bit about your path and just what it's been like for you. A couple of years at UAB, then you come into Auburn. You're now in year two here on the Plains. What's it been like, maybe the difference between year one in the SEC versus year two now in the SEC?
Yeah, I would say the first year, just kind of try to soak everything in. It's a different conference. It's the best conference in the nation. It's one that you can't take lightly. The first year, just trying to, you know, have a couple of the older guys take me under their wing and kind of understand the ins and outs of the league, and honestly have a little bit of an eye-opening with some of these teams. Last year, you know, it's the SEC. People are going to punch in the mouth, but you got to learn how to punch back. And I feel like last year, just kind of understanding all that and knowing how this game works and how this league is so tough, and one win matters every single game. And going into the second year, trying to be one of those seniors that took me under their wing, just trying to, you know, help everybody around me, and just trying to lead by example, but also show that every game is extremely important, and that this league is the best. And if we're able to win every single game, if we have a chance to win, then we're going to have an awesome year. And just kind of going from last year to this year, it's been an awesome experience. Last year, I didn't really get to enjoy it, mostly just because, you know, high pressure coming in.
Sure.
Trying to, you know, perform to the standards that everybody else is performing at, just trying to lock in. And now, you know, with the hard work that we've put in as a team in the fall and early this spring, man, it's been awesome. And, you know, it's just been really, really enjoyable to see this team come closer together and just build that culture that we may not have had as tight as last year. So it's been awesome.
Sounds like you may be a little bit more relaxed, huh, this year, just enjoying the ride a little bit more. Is that because you're a senior, or just maybe just a little bit more confidence? What kind of brings that about?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, it's my last year, senior year. I mean, I don't want to sit here and, you know, stress myself out more than any other year.
Sure.
I just want to enjoy it. You know, this could be my last time playing baseball, and I want to enjoy and soak every ounce of it up. And, you know, also just the team chemistry, man, it's been awesome. We got some great guys on the team that have really brought us all together, and just inside the locker room, outside the locker room, we're always together, and it just made everything so enjoyable. And, you know, they're all like brothers to me, and we're all super, super close. So it's just been super, super nice to, you know, just kind of sit back, but also, you know, maintaining focus as we play.
Well, that's where I want to go next, is the guys on this pitching staff, right? I mean, with whether it's the starters or relievers or closers, I mean, there's a lot of good talent on this in this pitching staff between you, Carson, and guys like Petrovic, and, of course, Cam Tilley and Samuel Dutton. I mean, you've got some serious dudes in this staff. And so what stands out about maybe somebody in particular, or just the group as a whole, at what makes them so good so far this season?
I would say, as a group, as a whole, it's just our preparation. I know with Coach Tiefert and Coach Foxhall, we really bear down on our meetings and our research on the other teams, but also, you know, on ourselves. We like to do our reverse scatter reports on ourselves, so we don't fall into some trends that we did maybe last year. And I think that has built the next level of confidence for our team as a whole and our staff as a whole. I think every time somebody goes out there, you know, everybody is like, man, that's our guy. Regardless of who it is, man, they go out there and they compete. And I think that we have that little chip on our shoulder because, you know, last year wasn't the best. But I think, you know, coming from that team last year, I think everybody knows that the standard is, you know, to be the best. And we want to be one of the best pitching staffs in the nation. And we want to, you know, as Coach Thompson says, throw the most strikes. And I think, you know, having those goals in front of us and working towards them every single day, I think it's built that sort of confidence, but also built that sort of trust within each other. And I think it's just made us strong as a whole.
And you look at this record right now for Auburn baseball, as we're sitting down talking with Carson Myers of Auburn baseball here on ESPN 106.7. You guys are 22-10 overall, 6-6 in conference play. You had a 4-game losing streak, of course, with the struggle in Athens, and then losing the midweek to UAB. But you bounced back your team in a big way with a win over Alabama this past weekend at Plainsman Park, winning the game on Friday night, and then splitting the doubleheader on Saturday. I know it's fun to beat those guys from up in T-Town over the weekend.
Absolutely. They're a rival. It's always a good feeling when you get to beat them.
And,
for sure.
I mean, you look at this schedule, you said it earlier, the SEC, it's no joke. And what's wild is you've played 1, 2, 3, 4 series now into SEC play. You beat Vanderbilt, you beat Kentucky, and you beat Alabama. I mean, you're winners in 3 of your 4 SEC series, Carson. That's no joke. You can't overlook that, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you definitely got to, you know, give yourself a little pat on the back for winning those, for sure.
And you look at what comes up tonight. You guys will be traveling to Atlanta to take on a top 15 ranked team, Georgia Tech. Depending on where you look, I mean, both of these squads, you guys and Georgia Tech, top 10, top 15. I mean, this is another really good matchup in the midweek for you guys in between all these SEC games. Tell us a little bit about Georgia Tech and what you guys are preparing for tonight.
Yeah, we're just going game by game. Our focus tonight is on Georgia Tech, and we're just trying to bear down on those guys and just try to maintain that standard that we set for ourselves. You know, it's a non-SEC opponent, but they're really, really good, like you said. And we have to stay true to ourselves, and we got to throw strikes. We got to run hard to first base. We got to stay true to everything that we've set before the season started. And I think we're really, really talented. I think our staff is really, really talented. I think we have a lot of depth, but I think our hitters are, I mean, we're super deep. Like, I feel like every single guy up there has the ability to do some serious damage. And I think if we stay true to, you know, who we are, I think, you know, tonight we're going to have some success. It's going to be a great game, though.
And what does it say about this freshman class, the fact that Christian Chatterton's getting the start tonight in Atlanta, top 15 matchup, and the freshman righty is going to be on the mound for you guys?
Yeah, just going back to what I said with that trust. I mean, every single guy on this staff and this team trusts everybody that goes out there. And that just helps whoever's out there with that confidence. And I'll give some credit to our freshman class. You know, my freshman year, you know, there's a couple moments where you get a little bit bigger than – the moment gets a little bit bigger than you expect. And all these guys have been able to, you know, take a big deep breath and, you know, kind of slow things down and just play to their best of their ability. They're extremely talented. One of the best freshman classes I've ever been a part of on a team. And, they've all just really matured, and they've showed their maturity whenever they go out there and play. So it's been really awesome to see them have success, but also, on these bigger games, build that trust and that confidence with these guys.
Yeah, and I think that's on the offensive and the defensive side, man. I really do. I mean, just you got electric bats. You've got you got menaces on the mound and guys that just don't make mistakes, right, Carson? It seems like they just don't make a whole lot of mistakes. And you said at the moment doesn't seem too big for those guys.
Yeah. No, I mean, these guys, they know how to slow everything down. And it's been awesome because, when you have those big moments, you hope for a senior or a guy with experience to come out there because they've dealt with it. Well, now this year, man, I'm at the plate, I'm hoping Bub or Chris or, Fralick goes up there because they've proved it. And, when we go out there on the mound, a big situation, I hope Sanders goes out there. I hope Chat goes out there. I hope all the guys that are having the opportunity, like Dre, and go out there and just show it. I mean, they've done everything right, and they've learned how to slow the game down, and it's been really fun to watch.
Well, I know you guys aren't trying to look too far ahead past a really good Georgia Tech team tonight, but you welcome in a top five LSU squad this weekend. You don't have to go there. They get to come here to Plainsman Park. How cool is that? They're going to have another top 10 matchup inside of Plainsman Park, where Auburn fans have showed up all season, breaking attendance records, it seems like, every single weekend right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. Our fans have been nothing but amazing. They've definitely packed out Plainsman Park for every single game, and it's been awesome just to kind of see those fans come in and cheer us on. But yeah, looking forward to the weekend. It's a good squad, but I think I have full confidence in our entire team, and I think we're gonna win. I have no doubt. I think we're gonna 100% win, and I think that we have that grittiness to us that is just gonna. We don't really care about rankings. We had a meeting this year, and we have our vision statements before every single game, and we don't care about rankings. We just kind of stay within ourselves. We don't like the outside stuff. We kind of stay within each other, and we just play. And I think that we play to who we are. I think it's going to be another great weekend.
That is awesome, man. Well, yes, LSU coming in this weekend. You guys will go to Jack State in the midweek. And then you look at some of these SEC series that you guys are going to have on the road. How cool is it for you and the guys to be able to go to Austin, right, for the first time for SEC play? You're going to go to Knoxville, take on Tennessee. And then you get to go to Oxford to end the regular season. I mean, those are big-time SEC places to go this year, man.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's definitely going to be cool to go to some places that you haven't been yet, like Texas, like you said, and it's going to be awesome. But I think, as I said before, it's got to be one game at a time. You can't look at the weekend as a whole. I think when we, focus on one game at a time and just beat us, we're better than most teams in the country. I mean, I love our chances against anybody. And I think that, even on the road or at home, I love our chances. And then we're going to go out there and compete.
So. Auburn at Georgia Tech tonight in Atlanta. That's an early start. It's a 5 o'clock Central Time start. And a reminder, Georgia Tech's going to make a return trip coming up in just a couple of weeks on April 22nd. They'll come back here to Plainsman Park. That'll be on a Tuesday night. But we're looking forward to watching it tonight and then back home at Plainsman Park this weekend for LSU. The lefty, Carson Myers, joining us here on ESPN 106.7 for Auburn Baseball. Man, we appreciate your time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys. And good luck tonight, this weekend, to you and everybody there for Auburn Baseball.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me. War Eagle.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you are on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Carson Myers from Auburn Baseball joining us here on the show today, talking about the season up to this point, kind of his journey as a relief guy in the pen. And you can hear him talking right there just about the relief and kind of the relaxed feeling that he has and enjoying the season a little bit more
in his new role. And so we appreciate him joining us here on the show. And yes, Auburn baseball back in action tonight. They are in Atlanta. They'll be taking on Georgia Tech over in Atlanta. They'll be playing at 5 o'clock Central Time tonight. You can catch the radio broadcast on Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, or the Radio Alabama app, so tune into that. Pregame starts at 4:45 with first pitch set for 5 o'clock tonight between Auburn and Georgia Tech. And speaking of baseball, Christian, we can get some MLB conversation in for just a little bit, as the Braves are, I think, just going to go down as never hitting the baseball ever again. Historically, will be the worst team to ever swing the bat and may not ever win a game again. So there's that.
You're not too far off from what the average Braves fan thinks right now. 1-8 to start the season. You've played the Padres, the Dodgers, now the Marlins. You had a two-game set. Now you get to welcome in the Phillies, who are 7-2, your Division East rivals. And you don't necessarily have too much hope. Chris Sale does get the start tonight. That being said, you go against Zach Wheeler, who I believe is one of the best in the business. The fact that he doesn't have a Cy Young is beyond me. So 1-8 to start the season, looking down the barrel of a 2-10 or 1-11 start. No team that's ever started 1-8's ever made the playoffs before. So Braves looking to go from worst to first again in the year 2025.
Yeah.
But man, it's been frustrating to say the least so far. At least there's a lot of other news that you can happily get to hop on with your Rafael Devers finally learning how to hit the baseball, trying to give the Braves a little bit of pointers, a little bit of tips of how well.
Yeah, who would have thought that after the first two series of the year, where it's like, hey, call Rafael Devers. He figured out how to hit the baseball. He can help you out
without a torpedo bat.
Yeah, maybe the Red Sox. I thought they woke up, right? Sunday, they win the doubleheader. They win the first game in comeback fashion. Then they smoke St. Louis in the night game, putting up 18 runs. Yeah, they followed it up. Terrible loss. Yeah, I mean, just playing the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, you score 18 on Sunday night. What'd you do? You scored two. Yesterday, you lose 6-2 against the Blue Jays. At home, by the way, we're in Fenway Park, and we lose to the Blue Jays.
So. Crazy how baseball works, man. Everything just evens out, doesn't it?
Between
that and Alabama shooting threes, the law of averages
just
finds a way
to
come back and haunt you. Vladimir Guerrero also signs a 14-year, $500 million deal, almost what Jacob signed this year to continue his on-the-line contract here. And then, I mean, looking at the NL West right now, I mean, it's absolutely absolutely stacked right now, again, with the Dodgers and the Padres kind of leading things. But the quiet team right now, the Giants, are 8-2 as well. So 9-2, 8-2, 9-3. Then you have the Diamondbacks, who make a run, it feels like, every single year at 5-6. But, I mean, those are the biggest storylines for the baseball quarter hour here this afternoon.
Yeah, and I mean, the sports world kind of going crazy. I mean, you've got baseball, which is off and running. The NBA and the NHL are a week or so away from their postseasons. Heck, we were just talking a second ago. I know we don't talk much NBA on this show, but you got coaches getting fired a week and a half before the playoffs start. The Denver Nuggets fired their head coach and their GM before the postseason starts.
While you're a four seed.
Yeah, you're a four seed in the West. And they're like, yeah, I was just listening to a video from Shams, and he was like, yeah, they wanted a fresh start. They wanted to pump some life into the program or into the organization. It's like
they lost four straight. They were done.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, you're terrible. See you later. He's the winningest coach in Denver Nuggets history. Won an NBA title 2 years ago, and they were like, yeah, you're terrible. See you later.
And you probably have the MVP as well.
You've got Nikola Jokic, who averages 34 a game. In the NBA, averages 34 points a game, and yet you're a four seed, and they fired the head coach, and they fired the GM. We also need to mention, it doesn't pass a smell test, does it?
It does not.
I don't think so. How about Alex Ovechkin in the hockey world, because this is my favorite conversation.
All you.
Yep, the leading goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League. He passed Wayne Gretzky. You got to give the guy his flowers. He scored his goal on Sunday from his favorite spot in the left-hand circle on a transition play, and they went absolutely crazy. Did it against New York. They got that done. He's the leading goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League. I don't care if you like hockey or not. To be the leading scorer ever, the most goals in the history, to pass the great one, Wayne Gretzky, like, that's a big deal. Whether you like it or not, you got to give the guy some credit. That's an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so lame. Hockey is, look, and I was telling you this the other day. I'm just saying, if there's ever a time for those of you out there that are considering watching hockey, do it right now. When the playoffs are about to start, it's the greatest postseason in sports. People that disagree,
man,
bite me.
Everybody
go
has turned
it.
That radio dial. Man.
Good. Go. I'm just telling you, you're missing out. Go watch it. It's better than baseball, better than football, better than basketball. In professional sports, it's the best postseason that exists. And people that know, they know. You don't have to worry about umpires calling balls and strikes in hockey, let me tell you that.
Ooh.
You know when it's a goal and you won't know when it's not a goal. You know when it's offsides and you know when it's not offsides. You know why? They use this crazy thing called technology. They know when it is.
Just let me see the little chicklets rolling around the ice, and that's the biggest thing I care about.
The what?
The chicklets. The teeth.
Okay. I've never heard it. Chicklets? I've never heard it referred to as a chicklet before.
See, only true hockey fans know that chicklets are teeth.
I don't think that's how that works. I've never heard that in my life. So on that, we'll end the first hour, and maybe we'll try to salvage somebody to come back on this radio station. Hour number two coming up after whatever the heck that was. Good news is we have somebody that can revive this thing, and it's Christian Clemente of Auburn 247, our recruiting guru. He joins us in hour number two. We got to get caught up on what the heck's going on around Auburn football in recruiting. You've got visits happening all over the place. Spring practice is going on. A-Day this weekend. We're talking all of that with Christian Clemente of Auburn Undercover. He joins us coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, we talked Florida winning the national championship last night, beating Houston in college basketball, where the road came to an end, and the Florida Gators are your national champions. Well, maybe not yours, but the national champions for 2024 and 2025. Also talked a little bit of baseball, and I got to speak with Carson Myers from Auburn Baseball, the lefty, so he joined us in that first hour. So all of that in the first 60 minutes. If you missed it, you can catch up with that in any of our previous shows on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, one word for you, football. A word that you haven't heard too much on the show in quite a little bit, but talking season is fast approaching, and nobody better than to give us everything we need to know than the man and the guy you need to know, the guy you need to follow for all the information at Auburn 24/7, Christian Clemente, joining us here in the show. But before we get into content here in hour number two, I want to remind you that the second hour each and every day here on the Line is presented by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Christian, the other Christian, joining us here
in
the studio
Christian
today.
Clemente.
One word, and hopefully you know a little bit about it. Auburn football, as, man, talking season is here. A-Day is this weekend, a thing that hasn't necessarily, yes, I guess, for what is left right. Of A-Day. Fan Day is here now
practice,
officially.
Practice, baby. We're talking about practice, man. What's up, Christian? How are you, brother?
I'm good. How about you guys?
We're good. It's been, we were talking about it before we came on. I mean, it's been forever since we've had you on, and it's because basketball, for obvious reasons, was dominating conversations. I mean, you were even saying over at Undercover, you guys were dominated by basketball, and that's what everybody wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's people didn't necessarily even really want to talk about football. No offense to the football program. That's not me saying it. I'm just saying, like, people just didn't particularly care that much about spring practice. I mean, we've gotten through almost all of spring practice, and now everyone's just kind of catching up, like, oh, okay, like, sounds good. And, you know, they've maybe heard recruits talking about Deuce Knight being good, or the receivers and stuff like that, but it's been very baseline stuff. And so now, hopefully, for my sake, people will be interested in football, at least over the next couple of days here through A-Day. But it has definitely had a very – this spring has just been so different. I mean, they started later.
Yeah.
People were checked out because of basketball. It's just been an interesting dynamic, I'll say that.
Well, with basketball being over, and of course it extended an extra month for Auburn going to the Final Four and things like that, this is why we wanted to bring you in today, is to kind of get caught up on a lot of things that have been happening with Auburn football recruiting, guys that have already been on visits, ones that are going to be coming in this weekend for A-Day or A-Day practice, whatever you want to call it, plus the calendar changes too. I mean, there's been a lot of that happening in college football, so all of that is going to be here in hour number two. If you have questions or comments or things you want to contribute to this conversation with Christian Clemente, hit us up in the text box, 334-784-1067. Maybe some names or just general questions you have. He's going to be the guy that can help us get those answered. And I think that's where we need to start, is the calendar, right? Because all of that is different with – apparently, Big Cat Weekend just took place. You've got A-Day practice coming up this week. The summers have been completely shut down. In the best way that you can describe it to our listeners who maybe don't know the changes that have been happening, Christian, can you kind of break down what the calendar looks like from here until, heck, until football season?
Chaos, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. Sure. I mean, it's been a mad dash of, you know, over the past couple of months getting guys scheduled for official visits. It used to be guys might take a couple of their OVs in the summer, maybe save some for the fall, kind of decide later on. Now all of these kids are taking their unofficial visits right now in the spring. They're going to take their official visits even earlier now. Some are taking them in April. A lot will mostly be in May and June. And then all these guys are going to try and have decisions for the most part before their senior season starts. It'll be commitment season. Then during the season, it'll be flip season, and then it'll be signing day. That's just the way things are going now, but it has definitely changed a lot. I know we were talking about it. You know, Big Cat was this past weekend, technically. Big Cat has always been the final week of July, but the NCAA changed it to where the final week of July is dead now, meaning all of July and all of August are dead, giving the coaches a little bit of a break after June, after all those official visits. So July, a little bit of time off, and then get ready for fall camp, and then obviously the season as well. So that kind of forced the staff of, look, if you're going to continue the tradition of Big Cat that's been going since Gene Chizik started it, when are you going to do it? And you can't really do it during the summer. You can't do it during June. You can't do it during May, because you're not going to bring in 50 kids in one weekend with official visits. It just does not work.
Right.
And so I don't want to say it was a panic, but it was kind of a, look, the calendar changed. We've got to put Big Cat on a weekend. We'll put it on Saturday, April 5th. We'll try and get a bunch of guys in for the scrimmage. And we'll call it Big Cat. You know, they did some kind of Big Cat feel to it a little bit. They had food trucks catering. They had a DJ outside. So after the scrimmage, after these guys watched all that, there was a hangout with all the current players, the recruits, the coaches, all just kind of hanging out there. But there was no scavenger hunt. There was no pool party. There was no Hugh Freeze getting thrown in the pool. It was a very solid list. You know, there were probably 20 kids there that were legit Auburn targets. It was not the 50 that you're used to from a Big Cat. So it's definitely changed. The calendar in general is just, everything is getting pushed forward. I mean, you're seeing 2027 kids commit already right now. It's just everyone is committing earlier, taking visits earlier. Everything is just getting advanced forward now because of the way the calendar is operating.
The way that we've seen it from the outside looking in, we were talking with Jacob earlier, and you were saying the Big Cats this weekend, it took us by surprise. Hadn't heard a single thing about it. And again, being somebody that follows that weekend so closely and so in-depthly, it's one of the things where you look forward to it for 3 weeks and you look for every single name and all of the stars that are making their way to the plan or to the planes or the surprise visits and things like that. So rather than from our perspective, looking from the outside in, did it still have a positive effect with it being this past weekend? Again, it didn't have necessarily the highlights of everything, but for the guys that made their visit to the Plains, what was the overall consensus?
Yeah, you had to kind of shift your focus, I guess I would say, with Big Cat. You know, when you have it at the end of July, that is when a lot of these kids are making their decisions. You can bank some of your commitments. You can get guys to, you know, wait and do it then. You can really blow it out as a huge event where you put your class together. In April, that's just not going to happen. These kids are not at a decision point for the most part. There's kids making decisions here and there, but for the most part, they're not ready yet. So this is you laying the groundwork for those official visits in the summer, building things up, building that connection. I think it was productive on that part. And then, you know, the staff saw an opportunity with probably a couple guys to really try and advance their recruitment forward quickly. And they did that with Parker Pritchett, who ended up committing at Big Cat. And then you've got guys like Xavier Tiller as well, who you continue to sit in a good spot with. I think you keep moving forward with him as well after Big Cat. But it was more of a laying the groundwork type of event compared to a commitment-filled event, and that's just that's not discrediting the staff. That's just the way you had to change Big Cat. It was a makeshift Big Cat is how I kept describing it in my stories.
Is that what you'll be expecting for the future, or is that kind of like the 1 year temporary fix while the entire calendar is kind of getting sewed together, although we expect many more changes in the calendar over the next couple of years.
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
That's a good question. I don't think you can ever really do Big Cat in June. I just don't think that's possible because everyone's going to be taking their official visits, even if it's not, like, even if you'd be trying to bring them in on unofficials and you already host them for an official visit or something like that, they're going to want to use that weekend to go somewhere else on their official visit. I don't know if the NCAA is ever going to open up July again. I kind of doubt it. The only thing you could maybe change would be trying to get this to like mid-May, but there's a very weird brief like three-day dead period in the middle of May, if I remember correctly, that starts on like a Monday or something. So it's kind of a weird. You'll have to move it around. If I had to guess, I would imagine they'll probably try and do Big Cat either in May next year or I would say around the spring game next year, but I don't know if there will even be a spring game or spring practice in general next year.
I mean, all these dead periods and no contact periods.
Even are those?
Right. Anymore? Well, I mean, think about right now with college basketball and the transfer portal. Like, there's technically a dead period where players can't visit and coaches can't visit them, but you can still talk to them. You can still FaceTime them. You can still call them and email. Like, I don't understand the difference there. Why some you can contact, some you can visit, some you can't do anything. It's just it's got to be confusing inside there.
Well, and it's just like, especially with transfers too, it's like most of these transfers, I mean, I feel like, I don't know. This is a complete guess. I bet like 70% of transfers are already committed right now, 50 to 70, somewhere in there. That's a huge range, but
a lot
somewhere
of them,
in there.
Sure.
A lot of them probably haven't taken any visits. Yeah. A lot of them just Zoomed with coaches. For the most part, all these transfers care about is what am I getting paid and what am I playing and how much am I playing?
Yep. And how much can you pay me and how much can you play me? That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's what they want to know with the transfer portal kids. Have you seen, before we get into specifics as you're with us for the entire hour, have you seen that trend take over in high school recruiting? I mean, we knew that was going to be the initial with NIL, right? Of, oh, they're just going to be paid, and you see kids getting money before they ever step on the field. But have you seen that mindset just completely sweep over high school kids like we thought it would? Or is it still, I want to go play for this coach or this program or this facilities and this fan base? I mean, where does that line right now?
It's definitely trending that direction, I would say. Sure. But more so than portal, the relationships still matter to an extent in high school recruiting. I mean, you're recruiting some of these guys for 2-3 years. You're building up that bond. And especially, I mean, we've seen it with some guys, you know, a guy like Anthony Tank Jones, the 5-star from St. Paul's, built up a strong relationship with Josh Aldridge, and then, you know, Aldridge isn't here anymore, and now Rock Bellantoni has to kind of build that up and work to get him back on campus. So the relationship aspect is definitely still there in high school recruiting, much more than the transfer portal. But at the same time, the NIL is it's a factor, and anyone that says it's not is just they're just lying.
And I think Auburn is in a competitive spot in that scenario. I mean, Auburn is not hurting for recruits or transfers or anything like that. I mean, you see the roster that is at Auburn right now. I mean, it's the most competitive roster Auburn's had in years, really. And I think a lot of that, wouldn't you say, guys, is because they've been able to go out and get players that they need, the talent that they need, yes, because you feel like Freeze is building something, but Auburn's got some NIL money in their pocket too. So I think that kind of helps, no?
Oh, it absolutely helps. Look, you have to now. You have to be competitive in the NIL market, and then you have to you have to work too. You have to be
– sure.
I mean, Brian Harsin could have had the money, but he wasn't going to be putting in enough work recruiting to make it work, and this staff does. So they put in enough work. They've got the money aspect figured out. Now that's going to change with revenue sharing or maybe or who knows. That's so far over my head. But
jeez, yeah.
They're in a good spot there, and now it's about putting some good product out on the field this fall.
Well, Auburn is putting in the work to get a lot of guys here. We'll talk about some of those big names. Who's been visiting here recently, plus who's coming up with A-Day this weekend, the summer approaching, and then things coming up this fall as well. We've got Christian Clemente of Auburn 247 in studio for all of hour number one. Shoot us a text with some of your questions, 334-784-1067. We'll take our first break here in hour number two on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line in hour number two. We've got Christian Clemente from Auburn Undercover, Auburn 247, joining us in the studio. Happy Masters Week, sir.
Happy Masters Week.
Yes.
Couple of the beat guys, we did our Masters like snake draft.
Oh yeah, we're doing ours. So. Yeah, we're doing ours soon here in the office. Are you doing like the fantasy where you draft like five or six golfers for the week? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, we did it. We draft six guys and then you keep top four scores, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And so then it's the combined score and whoever has the combined like lowest score. And then I think there's a bonus if you pick the winner. I think that person gets a bonus.
All right.
As well.
Well, tell us who's your team? Who's your winner? Who you got this week?
I need to look.
We know you're a big golfer.
While you're pulling it up, I know that we have our little thing. I think the Masters released something and it's like a six man, but you have to pick an American, a non American, a first time player, a previous winner. Huh. And some
and
other
an amateur or something,
and, and some sort of amateur, and you're trying to pick the combined score, and they have like crazy daily prizes, and
that's pretty awesome.
Big time, legit things. So yeah,
actually, no free pub. If the Masters wants to pay us to talk about their website, we're more than happy to do that. If we have any representatives listening at Augusta National,
hopefully that'd be nice.
God, could you imagine?
So I did have the second to last pick out of nine, so I was pick eight. I picked my boy Hovland to start.
Ah,
don't feel great about that one, but we'll
but
see.
But that is your boy. You've been on him for a while.
I had to take him. Joaquin Niemann.
Okay.
I took Keegan Bradley. And then here's where things got interesting. I got Patrick Reed, Phil Mickelson, and Billy Horschel.
Oh, you got Phil. I mean,
Phil's either playing late on Sunday or he's not even playing on Saturday.
Or withdraws on Friday. I mean, that's about what you get with Phil. I mean, you got all these LIV guys coming back and playing. Bryson will be there this week and Phil and those guys. So we'll see. I'm excited for it. It looks like the weather's supposed to be nice all week. I know Monday, yesterday was disgusting, but the rest of the week's supposed to be nice, I think. So
yeah, it should be good. I think Ben Wolk, actually, from the Georgia site.
Oh,
Masters
yeah?
Tickets this week.
Okay.
Man, yeah, from our sister jealous. Georgia site. So yeah, very jealous.
Man.
Never been.
If anybody ever
selected, but
yeah, I mean, if we have any listeners that you know can hook us up with Masters tickets, we don't ask for much. We don't, but this may be the second time we've asked this question. If anybody has Masters tickets, just hit us up. And
Jacob will let you sit in his seat for an entire show.
You could come and host the show that day when I'm not here. Like that was fine with me. Look, I'm very fortunate. I've been twice, and it still was not enough. I would love to go again. I went the year Tiger won it, and the year Scotty won it. So, but they were both Monday practice rounds, which is good and bad. I mean, it's got pros and cons. So.
I mean, you get to hit the merch tent. You got to be careful.
Oh, I hit
there.
It first.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of money in that place.
I went to the Players this year, which was the first pro golf tournament I've ever actually been to.
Forgot. How was that?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I geeked out because it was a golf tournament and I'd never been to
one.
And, first day, let's see, I went Wednesday, practice round, hit the merch tent, of course.
Of course.
We went on Thursday. I walked with Victor. He shot an 80, so I was rubbing off on him. And then we went back on Sunday and then went to the Monday playoff, which, let me tell you, driving an hour back to the course to go to that playoff was a waste of time.
Are you serious?
I knew that was going to happen. Well, it was the Rory JJ Spawn one.
Yeah, that's
it,
true.
It was over.
As soon as the ball went in the water, you threw up the peace sign and started walking back to the car.
Man.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, though, that you were there. I forgot. I've seen your pictures and stuff. That is really cool. Well, yes, happy Masters Week to those who celebrate. Christian is a big golfer, and as are we. And so looking forward to talking about that throughout the rest of the week. But want to talk with you some of these specific names of guys for Auburn football. You're our recruiting guy at Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover. And Auburn's been busy. Auburn's had a lot of dudes visiting here in the past several weeks. They have more lined up. We'll get to those. But names that people need to know for our listeners who have been kind of tuned out of football and getting back into the rotation here, guys that have been visiting that fans need to know about or at least on the radar right now for this Auburn football staff.
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot.
I guess we could start, if you want to start maybe in the state of Alabama, that's not a bad place to start with in-state talent in 2020, you know, 6, 7, 8. I saw a picture.
You're 31.
I saw a picture the other day, Christian Clemente, of two kids on Twitter on some account that I didn't even follow, but it was a recruiting account, and it was two boys that were quarterbacks, and they had footballs in their hands and jerseys, and it says, the future stars of college football, the class of 2033, and I was like, what are we doing? Like, I felt so old. We're talking about recruits in the 2030s, man. I can't keep up. I just can't do it. So let's start in the state of Alabama. Let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, some of the big names that you have to know that were on campus recently, Sedarian Morgan, the wide receiver from Benjamin Russell, Malcolm Simmons, former teammate, he was here for Big Cat. That's a guy who's been on campus a bunch, will continue to be on campus a bunch. Everyone in the country's after him, but this one's probably an Iron Bowl recruiting battle, and it's going to be that way until the end.
Okay.
He says he's going to commit in July. He probably will, and then he'll probably keep taking visits, and it'll probably go all the way to signing day. That's just going to be the way that recruitment goes. Ranked as a 5-star, I think top 50 player consensus across the board with all the different industry rankings. So he's a huge one. That's a guy. Look, Marcus Davis, he is setting up to have another huge class. Already got two committed. He's got Devin Carter and Denarius Gray. Loves Sedarian Morgan. Loves Marquez Daniel from Booker T. Washington, just down the road there in Tuskegee. He was back on campus for Big Cat as well. Got some guys over in Mississippi, Tristan Keys, Jace Matthews, loves both of those guys. So it could be another Freeze 4-esque type year at wide receiver in the 2026 class, which is impressive. Staying in-state, running back Xavier Curwell, he was in for Big Cat. There's kind of three top-tier running backs, and Auburn would love to get one of them. You have Xavier Curwell from Jackson. You have Jay Lamar from South Georgia. And then you have Derek Cooper from Chaminade Madonna, teammates down there with Denarius Gray and coached by Sean Shivers. So it's those three. Auburn really wants to get one of those three. Whether or not they will is another question. I'm a little skeptical on all three of them right now, but it's also April.
True.
And then I feel like we'll go to quarterback. Quarterback is interesting.
For 26,
yes. Yeah. This is moving out of state a little bit now. Over the weekend, you had Jaden O'Neal in. A quarterback originally from California, committed to Oklahoma, now lives in Oklahoma, but the writing is kind of on the wall that he's actually not going to be in Oklahoma's class, interestingly enough, after moving to the state of Oklahoma. Oklahoma's been recruiting some other guys. He's been looking around a little bit. Really strong arm, athletic enough, not a huge runner, though, so I find that a bit interesting fit-wise, but this is a guy the staff likes. Had him in over the weekend for the full weekend, but the guy that I continue to think we'll end up in Auburn's class, Travis Burgess from Grayson. He was in 2 weekends ago, and he's going to be in on Thursday this week as well for another practice. That's a guy – look, Auburn is going after some of these Tier 1 guys. The Keyshawn Hendersons, you know, a 5-star committed to Houston. They're kind of in it with Landon Duckworth, the quarterback out of Jackson, you know, flirting with Jaden O'Neal and whatnot. But – with the way things are setting up, and we were just talking about it, revenue sharing, NIL and whatnot, it's really hard to continue to stack a room, especially a quarterback room where only one guy is playing. And all of the early returns on Deuce Knight have been more than they even hoped for. Look, they loved him when they signed him. They love him even more now. They have absolutely loved everything that they've seen this spring. So realistically, does it make sense to go use a bigger percentage of your, you know, your salary cap if it is revenue sharing? Is it, does it make sense to use a bigger percentage of your money to go get another quarterback to put behind Deuce Knight? Or does it make sense to get a guy that you like in Travis Burgess, a guy who's very smart, a little bit more developmental, will probably stick around and has some good tools, and then go use more of that money, offensive line, defensive line, edge, receiver, whatever. The way it's going now, I think that's more likely. And, you know, I'm kind of guessing here, but I feel like quarterback recruiting is going to become almost an every other year cycle where you shoot for the moon 1 year. The next year, you find a little bit of an under-the-radar guy that you like. You shoot for the moon the next year, back to an under-the-radar guy.
That's so wild. And then you have the portal to fall back on if things don't necessarily go as planned, right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I just think that's almost the way you're going to have to do it, you know, theoretically, if you're a staff that's there long-term. That feels like it makes the most sense, at least to me. Now, I'm not in those meetings. I don't manage the money. I don't know what goes on behind all that. I could not.
They don't let you a part of that? They don't ask your thoughts on how to divvy up the money?
No, I'm kind of surprised they haven't, actually. Yeah, I did take some finance classes in college, but
I mean, we respect your recruiting opinion. I think they should, too. That's all I'm saying.
No, but anyways, that feels like the quarterback that Auburn's probably going to get.
Travis Burgess, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a guy who, look, he didn't start until his junior year, and he started at Grayson last year, and he was really good. He helped lead them to a state title. Now, that's a loaded team. It was not just because of him, but he's a guy who I think he's a good player. He's really smart. I don't think he's a guy who would just run once he doesn't get the job right away. I think he would actually sit and learn for a while, and so in the portal era, that's about all you could ask for, to be honest.
Rare.
So,
yeah.
And at Grayson, there's three or four that Auburn's going after, right? I mean, Grayson's my neck of the woods. I know that there's Anthony Davis and a couple other guys
that are on
that squad as well.
They love Tyler Atkinson. That one is everyone loves Tyler Atkinson. Beating out Georgia will be incredibly tough, but Auburn's right there with Atkinson, to be honest. So adding Burgess certainly wouldn't hurt. Obviously, you have Kenyatta Watson on staff, who has incredible ties to Grayson after working there and kind of building that high school program up in that area. But Burgess certainly wouldn't hurt. And then 2027s, 2028s. I mean, Grayson is one of the powerhouses that will always have dudes.
Oh, yeah.
So if you get a guy from there, it certainly helps.
It's a domino effect. I mean, if you get one, you get multiple is typically how that goes. You begin to rebuild pipelines with big-time schools, whether it's South Alabama or Georgia. You got to start somewhere.
Well, Auburn's kind of doing that with Maryland right now, aren't they, as well? With
St. Francis.
Yeah, because a couple of the guys they have on squad now trying to get a couple more. And then you mentioned Shadnon Madonna with Sean Shivers could turn into a pretty solid pipeline because he's very, very outspoken with everything as well.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Well, all right. Hey, we're 30 minutes into hour number two. Christian Clemente of Auburn 247 will be with us for the last 30 minutes as well with A-Day coming up this weekend. What the heck does that even mean anymore? We'll talk a little bit about that, plus what we might see this weekend for Auburn football as we'll get a good viewing of the team. We'll talk more about that. 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. And another Christian in the studio is Christian Clemente of Auburn Undercover and Auburn 247, our recruiting guru. My man, plug it all. Tell the people where they can find you, what you got going on, because A-Day coming up this week. And we'll talk about that list in just a few minutes. But where can people find you and everything you got going on?
Yeah, it's all at auburnundercover.com. Auburn247.com gets you there as well. Have football coverage, football recruiting coverage. Basketball coverage is not over. Nathan put out a way too early look at what Auburn's rotation could be like next year. He had some intel on the stay or go guys as well. Guys like Chad Baker Mazzara, Chaney Johnson maybe. As well. So tons of basketball content still rolling as well, all at auburnundercover.com.
Well, you guys will be very active this weekend with Auburn football's A-Day happening this Saturday inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Curious on where you stand just in general with this idea across college football, where so many big name programs have just completely waxed it, not doing anything, no fan day, no game, no practice, no nothing. They just said, to heck with it, we're done, Nebraska. And other places like Auburn, they've kind of been in the middle. Some places are full on, still doing it, but Auburn is kind of in the middle, right? It's not a real game. It's not a scrimmage. It's more of just kind of an open practice. Come hang out, and then we'll do a fan day autograph session thing afterwards.
I think that's probably the best for where it's at right now. I mean, it's an hour practice, and then getting the fans out there, and it's free. If I remember correctly, I think they changed it to where it's free this year.
I think so.
And then fans can go down and get autographs and all that stuff. Probably the best for where it's at right now. I honestly agree with Hugh Freeze and what he wants philosophy-wise and getting rid of spring practice altogether, and moving practices to June, you know, some OTAs and stuff like that in June. And, you know, in the spring you have some teach time and some stuff like that, and obviously some player-led practices, but kind of just eliminating spring practice altogether. I mean, you look at all of these teams, especially the teams that played late and deep into the 12-team playoff.
I mean, late January now.
Yeah, I mean, they're banged up. Auburn is banged up. A lot of guys, you know, you're keeping your best guys out. Guys like Xavier Chaplin is healing up. Connor Liu, Jeremiah Wright has been limited. All these guys, DeMarcus Riddick, Keldrick Falk. I mean, the list goes on. All these guys, they're going to get either cleaned up, you know, maybe a minor little shoulder procedure or something like that. They're just going to get ready, and then they're going to miss all of spring, when in reality you could, you know, instead of having spring practice, you could have it to where you're doing summer OTAs and stuff like that, and then making it more of a true off season. Because right now it's just such a weird spot where you have a short off season and then kind of winter workouts and then spring practice, and then you have some time off in the summer, but you're kind of doing a little bit of stuff here and there, player-led practices, and then it's fall camp, and it's just kind of – it's just segmented a little weird. I think doing summer OTAs into fall camp would make a little bit more sense. But in terms of, you know, what we have right now, I think Auburn has a solid setup for what they're doing for spring practice and for the spring – quote-unquote game.
Do we ever think that'll happen? I mean, do we think spring ball will ever truly go away? I mean, we've seen a ton of other things change. I mean, I know the purist out there may not want spring practice to go away, but it makes sense, like you were saying, Christian, for the reasoning behind it, and maybe to, with the adjusting calendar, whether it be recruiting or the practice itself or the transfer portal or whatever, I mean, it makes sense to not have spring practice going on.
I think realistically, you could maybe get to a point where colleges have, you know, the 15 or the 10 practices or whatever the NCAA ends up deciding to do, and they say, look, you can use them in the spring or you can use them in the summer. Here's two periods. You have a certain couple month periods, and you can do with your program what you like. And, you know, Hugh Freeze has been a huge advocate. Even before this, he was an advocate for spring games against other teams, you know, in-state ones, stuff like that. I know Dion and Fran Brown got a lot of attention this spring for trying to get a Colorado-Syracuse spring game going. That I think the NCAA turned it down.
Which I think if they would have promoted, or if they would have proposed it earlier, I think it would have happened, or it could have happened maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, Freeze has been on that, I feel like, since he got to Auburn.
I agree with
saying,
that.
Saying, like, oh, let's play Alabama State, or let's play Troy, or something like that.
Somebody
and,
else.
And just do a charity or something like that. And I feel like he's kind of gotten away from that and more towards pitching the idea of summer stuff. But look, it's the NCAA, so who really knows? They might they might all of a sudden start adding more spring practices, and who knows.
So how much of that depends on, I'm guessing, if you're saying this is where you are expecting the future to go with that second window of the transfer portal, do you expect that date to change? Because obviously I feel like that is the main reason why
I don't think
spring practice is not really happening.
I don't think it will exist.
You're thinking it's just going to get wiped completely.
I think they will have one transfer portal window.
And I think it should be that way.
And I don't know when it will be. Probably in January at some point. Probably try and get it to a point where most of the teams are done playing, so everyone's on a relatively even playing ground. Then it becomes difficult because guys need to get to their next school in time to enroll for the spring and whatnot. But
oh yeah, they have this thing called classes they have to enroll in. They have to like go to school, right? I think. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I think they still have to go to school.
Technically, they are still student-athletes.
Technically.
But
student comes first.
I think that's probably where things are headed. I mean, even without the spring practice being talked about, they've been talking about for a while now getting rid of that second portal window and just trying to combine, you know, one portal window at the beginning. So
8A could make a return then.
You heard it here first from Christian Clemente himself.
2027.
8A is back, baby. That's what we heard here.
Yeah, so who knows, but I think it would make a lot more sense to have your full roster in terms of all the portal stuff is done, all of your high school guys.
That's whether, what I was going to say. Yeah.
Whether mid-year enrollees or summer enrollees, they're all there. Guys are mostly healthy from the previous season. Once by the time if you did summer OTAs and stuff like that, It makes more sense to me. Now, what makes sense doesn't always make sense to the NCAA, but we'll see what happens,
well
I guess.
Said.
Well, what we do know is this Saturday, this weekend, is Auburn football's A-Day practice, and they're going to be on the field for an hour. We're going to have a chance, the media, we're going to be there. We're going to cover it, I guess, and see what we see. You mentioned there's quite a few injuries to this Auburn team right now, but in terms of recruiting, which is what we are here to talk to you about, you got a list of guys that are going to be here this weekend and ones that people should probably know about.
Yeah, it's a solid little list, especially after this past weekend and the weekend before that as well. You've gotten a lot of your guys in, but you're going to get some more in as well this weekend. Talking about getting guys in from other parts of the country, you should get Jordan Thomas, like a round top 100 player, cornerback from New Jersey. He's expected in. He visited for the junior day in January, so he'll be back. Claude Mpuma, I believe I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but we'll see this weekend when I talk to him. Big four-star offensive tackle from Illinois.
Nice.
Actually attends the high school that Vontrell King Williams played at.
Oh, okay.
So offensive tackle, but he knows Vontrell. He's been kind of – Vontrell has been the area recruiter. Now, area recruiter is not very prominent anymore in recruiting, I feel like. But Vontrell's active with him a little bit. So getting him in, a name or a pair of names, I should say, that have been on campus a handful of times, or I think it's actually just once because they've canceled a few times and Auburn's been trying to get them back. The Harris twins from North Carolina, Aiden and Andrew Harris. One more of a three tech, one more of an edge.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn loves both of those guys. They would take both of them in a heartbeat. And so if Auburn gets them back, if they actually show up this weekend, that'll be huge. Still, they've been on lists a couple times and didn't make it, so I'm skeptical until they're here. Braylon Womack, a five-star safety coming over from Mississippi, absolutely one of the top targets on the board. That'd be a huge chance for TJ Rushin to kind of stamp a huge recruiting win after taking over. Look, he's a good recruiter, but no one's Charles Kelly. So it'd be a good opportunity for him. And then a guy who's been on campus a bunch, Bryce Perry Wright from Buford, the defensive lineman, he should be back as well. So you've got a solid little list of guys coming in this weekend, and it should be a pretty productive day.
Well, you look at where Auburn is right now, according to y'all's side of 247 for 2026, and I know it's still early, but this is where things stand right now. Auburn ranked 18th in the country in the 2026 class, 7 commits, 5 of those being 4 stars, 2 of those being 3 stars. Some surprises in here to me. I mean, you've got Arkansas in there at 15th. You've got from the SEC, not maybe a surprise, Texas A&M is at 5, LSU at 4. Alabama is not in there in that top 20. They are way down there at 31. That's kind of my question to you right now is, what's been the consensus around the SEC in this last, 6 to 8 months in recruiting? Who's been making a lot of noise? Because that's the furthest Alabama's been down at this point in quite some time.
Yeah, so it kind of depends on which ranking you're looking at. Obviously, for us, 247, the rankings are all total points, so it's how many commitments you have combining them. I believe On3 does it differently, where they only take, as the year goes on, they add more, where they count more guys. But I think right now they're just counting like 5 guys or something like that, On3 is. So they count like the top 5 guys and average that out or whatever. So Auburn's ranked way higher on On3 than they are with 247, just because of the differences there. Jacob, you mentioned it, Auburn's class, believe 5, you said 5 4 stars, that sounds right.
Yep.
I think Wayne Henry and Parker Pritchard are the 2 3-stars, so it's a solid group. It's just not very deep quite yet.
Sure.
And I feel like Auburn has been roughly around this number the past couple of years, around 7, probably 7 to 10 commitments around this time, so they're not incredibly off pace. Around the SEC, it's definitely, I'm trying to think who all has been kind of hot so far this year. Not in the SEC, but USC and Clemson have both been on heaters recently.
Yeah, what the heck's going on in Southern California? They got 21 kids committed in 2026. There ain't no way they hold on to all 21 of those, right? Or add on to it. Not at this point. There's no possible way.
Lincoln Riley sold his house to give little pieces of it.
Well, USC was also off to an incredibly hot start last year, and then they lost Juju Lewis, and they lost a bunch of other guys as well. If you notice a trend, you can get early commitments, but it's about holding on to them.
True.
And it could be an interesting fall in Southern Cal as well. But getting back to the SEC, it's definitely – I don't know. I feel like it's just – I haven't seen any teams go crazy quite yet.
You got LSU at 4, A&M at 5, and then the drop-off then goes to Tennessee at 14. I said Arkansas at 15. Yeah. I mean, they got 11 commits at this point. That's not bad for Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, they're filling out the class. It's kind of a – it's, you know, it's just a difference of – you know, Alabama doesn't have a ton of commitments, but they've got a couple of guys that are really highly ranked. Auburn has most of their guys are really highly ranked. I think Georgia's somewhere around the 20-ish range as well.
Mm-hmm.
We know all these teams are going to make a move. We know Alabama's going to jump up. We know Auburn's going to jump up. We know Georgia's going to jump up. It's just about when these commitments start to fly in for some of these schools. And look, a lot of these guys that they're waiting on are some of the elite top-end guys, guys like Braylon Womack, you know, Jaire Edwards, another safety who was in this past weekend. These guys are going to take their summer OVs and then decide. It's not about where you rank in April. It's about where you rank come season time and especially come signing day. And this is going to be a really interesting class for Auburn.
That was my sorry.
No, you're good. I was just going to say a lot of it hinges on what happens this fall. You cannot put together another 5-7 type season and A, expect to have a good recruiting class. B, maybe even still be here. So it's an interesting cycle.
But yeah, that my follow-up question, you kind of answered it on the last little point, is at what point in time, obviously with talking season and everything, this if you feel like this is the tab that you have saved and you're looking at it of Auburn got another one, they jumped from 18 to 14 or whatever the case may be, but at what point do you start paying a whole lot of attention to these overall rankings? At what point do you become quote-unquote worried for a team, or what point do you see a team that has a whole lot of success, or does it really come down to 3 p.m., 4 p.m. on actual signing day, just because you obviously know better than anybody that saying the word commitment doesn't mean too much until ink's on the paper, and even at that point, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is finalized.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are extremes to it. I mean, there were times when Harsin was here and Auburn's ranked in the 60s in the summer, and it's like, okay, this is – you can very clearly see that this is a problem.
Yeah, this is not good.
But, like, if Auburn – if we're in the summertime and Auburn's in the 20s or something like that, you know what I'm saying, this year hypothetically, I'm probably not going to be overly concerned because the staff has shown that they can recruit at a high level across the board. So if Auburn puts a good enough product out on the field this fall, I feel very confident that they can sign a top 10 class. They've proven it several years in a row now without putting a good product on the field. If they can get a good product on the field, that'll only help things. When you start to pay attention to rankings, for me, it's so tough. It's just like you just mentioned, it's really hard, and I feel like fans are becoming this way, and it kind of sucks because it waters down my job, but it's hard for people to care until signing day. They've seen how little commitment means now. Even in previous years, I mean, quarterbacks were the guys that were really solid and would commit and would stick. Even that's changing now. It's just guys aren't sticking. There's visit season, there's graphic season, there's commitment season, there's more visit season, then there's flip season, then it's signing day, and then you're kind of deciding. There's just so many ebbs and flows all the way, not even from right now in April to December, from when these guys start getting recruited as sophomores and juniors, and it's kind of crazy. It's so hard for people to get fired up about recruiting rankings right now just because they know so much can and will change.
Well, the thing that you've said several times, and I know we got to get to our final break, but I do think more than ever right now, obviously going into a crucial year three for Hugh Freeze, is to put that product on the field and show with the talent you have right now. I mean, look at the freshmen, or I guess the sophomores now that were freshmen a year ago. This is a really big opportunity for Hugh Freeze and this staff to prove to other recruits, hey, if you come here, you're going to develop. You're going to get better. It's not just about show up and get paid and leave. You can come here and be really successful on the field and hopefully put you in the next level and into the league, right?
Yeah, guys like, I mean, obviously five stars like Cam Coleman, but what about Malcolm Simmons, who is a pretty high four star, but a guy that you've already proven has been good? Caleb Harris, Malik Blockton, guys like that. How can they keep getting better? How can they keep improving their draft stock? I mean, Keldrick Falk was ranked as a top 100 player, but he's being discussed as a first-round draft pick leaving after his junior year. Can you show it to these guys? Because that's the thing. These other schools, the Georgias, the Alabamas and everything, they're getting an NIL discount with these guys. They've already proven they get guys to the league. They will go to these other schools for a discount because they know the development, the winning, and whatnot. Auburn doesn't get that discount yet. That's just the matter of fact. That's the reality of the thing, of the situation. So if you can start to prove that, that would certainly help.
No doubt about it. Hugh Freeze and Auburn have to do that in 2025. And we'll see. A-Day this weekend, and then the summer will hit, and then season's going to be here before we know it, guys. And it's pretty crazy to think about that. We will take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around. We will finish it up after this here on ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We got a couple of minutes before we get out of here, and we've been having a lot of fun in this hour with Christian Clemente of Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover. He is our recruiting expert. And we bring him in times like this where we get caught up on what's been going on. You can get caught up on what's been going on. So if you missed any of our conversation with him today or any other parts of our show, a lot of baseball talk in hour number one. Spoke with Carson Myers from Auburn Baseball. Recapped the national championship game as well. That was all in the first hour. So you can catch up with that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And so what does the schedule look like for you, Christian, over the next several weeks and months with this whatever calendar that we're in? I mean, of course, A-Day this weekend, and then the rest of spring practices around and recruiting, transfer portal, and then the summer's going to hit. So kind of tell us what your calendar looks like.
Yeah, so going through this weekend, this is kind of the last main chance to get guys in for unofficial visits, mainly before their official visit. Because, you know, like you said, some other schools will still have spring practice, so they'll be going to other places. Auburn will get a high schooler in here and there, but it's not going to be the main deal. And then the portal opens up. Don't actually know what date. I think it's April 16th, maybe, or something like that. I think it's April 16th through the 25th. That sounds relatively right. So Auburn will be after a couple more pieces there. Feel like linebacker, defensive line.
I think D-line's got to be a focus for sure.
Yeah, so I think they'll look there. I think they're going to try and go get another quarterback because Tanner Bailey, who was going to be a walk-on as kind of that fourth guy, didn't end up joining the team. So that leaves them with only three. When I say another quarterback, I'm talking a Grant Loy or a Cord Sandberg type quarterback. Get a fourth scholarship level-ish quarterback who really just wants to come in and kind of learn trying to be a coach in the future. So portal stuff, and then the speaking of the calendar, the contact period opens up here in the middle of April at some point as well.
Mm-hmm.
So coaches can go out on the road. They can see these guys in spring practice. And that's a huge time for them to obviously not only see these guys, see how they've developed, see how they've grown, but also show some love to them as well and try and, you know, showcase, look, you've come to see us. Now it's our turn to go and see you. So that's a big time as well before official visits.
Well, speaking of showing love, man, we appreciate you stopping by. Looking forward. I'm not sure when the next time we'll get you in. I don't know when the next appropriate time to talk recruiting is in terms of relevancy, but we'll do that here coming up soon. Plug it all. Tell people one more time where they can find you.
Yeah, all at auburnundercover.com.
There it is. Christian Clemente, our recruiting expert in studio for all of hour number two. If you missed it, check it out at ESPNAU.com. We are back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Tomorrow's Wednesday. That means it's Double D Wednesday. We'll have him join us, not in studio. Over the phone, though. That's tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.